Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio Studios in Union City, New Jersey. This is Talk of the Hudson, and I am Fernando Uribe. I want to welcome you all to this, the 12th of April. I want to thank you for listening from wherever you are here in the good old U.S. of A. Now, I want to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen, so don't be shy and call me toll-free tonight at 657-383-0296. Once again, call in tonight, toll-free, 657-383-0296. You can always write to the show's inbox, which is talkonthehudson@gmail.com. Once again, talkonthehudson@gmail.com. If you want to submit a topic for a future show or just want to share your thoughts about the program, I'm more happy to listen and read and let you know how I feel. Now, again, folks, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at @your_favorite_Fernando and on Twitter at @theglorious_FUJ. And lastly, for all of you Facebook subscribers, please go to the official page for Talking the Hudson and like it, of course. And what I ask is, please tell your friends to do so as well. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Talking the Hudson is brought to you by Olivella Restaurant. Now, it's a brand new gem in Hudson County. And let me tell you, it's the best Italian food you're going to taste anywhere. And I hate to say it that, you know what, even though I'm trying to get summer ready, it doesn't help when you go to Olivella because it's so delicious. And trust me, when you go there, you will not want to leave. Just pure, delicious, homemade Italian cuisine, courtesy of Olivella Restaurant, folks. And it's located at 7709 Bergeline Avenue in North Bergen, New Jersey. They're available for dinner 7 days a week. So you know what? I suggest you go ahead and stop by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. Now, do me a favor. Call in advance and make a reservation at 201-662-6110. Again, 201-662-6110 for reservations. Again, I strongly recommend. It gets pretty busy there 7 nights a week. Now, don't forget to check out their website, which is www.olivellanj.com. Once again, www.olivellanj.com. You get a free outline of their menu, and trust me, you'll definitely want to go eat there. So don't forget to like them on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Instagram as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, I'm glad to have you join me tonight here on Blog Talk Radio, and thank the Lord for this beautiful weather. And you know what? Hopefully warmer days continue for all of us here in the New Jersey, New York City, tri-state area. And now we begin with the real truth. Well, folks, I'm a lifelong Jersey resident, as I've mentioned numerous times here on the program. And I've been driving since I was 18 years old, pretty much started driving full-time at 18. And I've always been intrigued by a simple question. And I asked myself, what does the Port Authority do for us? And you know what? I've done some research. And you know what? If you're a motorist like me, I hope you're sitting down. Now, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey collected $650 million in toll revenue just last year. That's right. You heard correctly, ladies and gentlemen. $650 million. Now, let me put this in perspective for everybody listening tonight here. Now, the Port Authority, for those of you that are not aware, operate 6 aging bridges and tunnels, ferries, industrial parks, bus stations, a commuter railroad, and the 3 major airports in our area, Newark Liberty, LaGuardia, and John F. Kennedy. And believe it or not, they lost as much as $400 million as recently as 2015. So it sort of begs the question, how does this happen? Like, why haven't our elected officials done anything about this? How do they let this occur? And, you know, it's been frustrating for me. Now, again, as a good citizen, I've tried contacting the media relations department at the Port Authority. I've tried to reach out to Ron Marisco. Ron Marsico, at the Port Authority. Easy accessibility via the web and try to find out information. I've tried calling and left numerous messages to get somebody on the air and try to talk about this because, quite frankly, as a motorist and as a taxpayer, I'm offended. Like, why is this happening? Do you realize, folks, for those of you that commute into the city and you have to drive, whether you have an easy pass or you're just paying cash, okay, do you realize how many tens of thousands of cars go through all of these structures that I mentioned before, the six aging bridges and tunnels and everything like that, and you're still losing money? Like, what's going on here? This is insane. And I sit there when I'm stuck in traffic and I'm driving into the city. And listen, to say nothing of the fact that many of you will agree with this, how many times are there not a sufficient amount of toll lanes open? Like, what's wrong here? I get it. More and more people are using Easy Pass. There's maybe less of a usage for toll collectors. But at the end of the day, during, you know, rush hour traffic, every lane should be open. I can't even make it to tell you I drive into the city on certain nights and I see two or three lanes and there's literally four or five to six lanes of cars right before the toll lanes. Like, this is unacceptable, folks. And to me, you know, again, I'm a motorist. I spend a good amount of my time when it comes to nightlife in New York City. And I don't know about you, but this really, really ticks me off. And I've talked to some of our elected officials about it. I've been trying to get some answers. And tonight, you know, sort of a little bit of a different tone to the program. I know in previous weeks I've had a guest on every single week. And tonight I, you know, sort of wanted to mix it up with you this evening and cover some issues tonight that I think affect all of us in Upton County. But I really wanted to start with this because, quite frankly, I'm tired of it. You know, when you hear that an apparatus collects almost $700 million in toll revenue and they're still losing money, folks, there's a problem. And I don't know who's going to solve it, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm on it. And we're going to continue talking about this again. Right now, folks, as motorists and taxpayers, we deserve answers. And guess what? The Port Authority, well, they certainly deserve some scrutiny. And that's the real truth. Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, feel free to call in toll-free tonight at 657-383-0296. Once again, our toll-free number tonight brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. Again, check out their website, www.olivellanj.com. And again, I want to hear from you folks about what's going on in Hudson County. Again, toll-free number brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. Well, folks, again, I sort of want to, you know, continue on a little bit about my disenchantment with the Port Authority. And as I told you, I've always been very concerned about why this large apparatus that governs so much of our transportation and our infrastructure here in the New Jersey, New York City area continues to be a disaster. And again, I'm going to be 42 next month. And I, for as long as I can remember driving, I've always looked at the Port Authority as not necessarily an oppressive type of institution, but a very inept one. You know, when you're throwing numbers at me, such as, you know, this much revenue is being collected and yet you're losing this much money, well, there's something wrong here. And I don't know about you, but this complacency has just gotten me so fed up as a homeowner, as a taxpayer, and even more importantly, as a motorist. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, at the beginning of the month, when you look at your checking account and you see the automatic deduction from the state of New Jersey and that Easy Pass amount that's removed, I mean, I don't know about you, it stings. Because it's always in the triple digits. It's always over $100, and I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? And I don't know about you, but it's really, really gotten me to a point that as a motorist, I want answers. And I can tell you that for the last few weeks, I've been calling the Port Authority, I've been calling their media relations department, and I've been trying to just find out exactly, like, what's going on here? I've even tried to make some calls to the Board of Commissioners at the Port Authority. Now, listen, these people are almost impossible to get, you know, in touch with, whether it's the chairman, John Degnan, or the rest of the bureaucracy that's there. I mean, when I looked at the website, I mean, literally there's nine commissioners there. And I can tell you from looking at some of these numbers, I mean, they're each making over $100,000 a year sitting on this commission. And folks, quite frankly, it drives me nuts. You know, a lot of people here in New Jersey and the New York City area, we're all struggling to make ends meet. We're all struggling to pay our bills. And we have these people on this commission just sitting there, you know, making decisions that, quite frankly, have been dooming us for years and years. And, you know, I sit here tonight and you know, I don't want to sound sanctimonious to you and I don't want to sound whiny, but quite frankly, you know, I'm just tired. I'm tired of just seeing this sort of blatant ineptitude become just sort of acceptable. And, you know, I've sort of come to the reality that, you know, the Port Authority's become like a daily disaster. It really has. And quite frankly, it's, you know, when I think back to why has this happened, you know, the first thing, you know, when we think about the, you know, the Port Authority in recent years, we think about Bridgegate and what happened. People a day in September 2013 in Fort Lee by the George Washington Bridge with Governor Christie and, you know, sort of all those layers of deceit and deception and what ended up happening. You know, listen, two people are going to jail. Two people are going to prison, you know, Bridget Kelly and Bill Baroni. And quite frankly, you know, did they take the heat for somebody else? We'll never know. But quite frankly, you know, that trial really just gave us a good focus about what's wrong with the Port Authority. And you know, and quite frankly, it's like, you know, if you live outside New York and you don't understand that, you know, what Bridgegate means or anything like that, well, it's an example of a chronic problem. It's sort of like this political infection that, you know, has found its way into one of our country's most important infrastructure agencies, and that's the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. And to be honest with you, I've been very disenchanted with the governors here in New Jersey and in New York. I think Governor Christie and Governor Cuomo have done us a tremendous disservice in terms of the way they've steered money and resources away from important projects. You know, I looked at a number that was absolutely staggering to me, and I just wanted to sort of share it with you tonight. And as I was doing research for the show, I mean, think of it this way. If you are not an E-ZPass subscriber, and let's say you're driving a pickup truck or you're driving a rig from Philadelphia to Boston, okay, and you're going through Route 95, which is most likely the route you have to take anyway. So you're taking the interstate, okay? Do you know what your cash toll would be at the George Washington Bridge as you're attempting to go into New York State and then ultimately into, you know, up into New England to finally head into Boston all the way down from Philadelphia? It would cost you $114, folks. If you don't have an easy pass and you're driving the rig from Philly to Boston, it would run you $114. Now, listen, even though ordinary cars pay $14 in the cash lanes anyway because of Easy Pass, I mean, that number is staggering. And when you think about an annual toll revenue of $650 million, and still the agency doesn't have enough for the upkeep of not just the GW Bridge, but the other failing bridges and tunnels that within the New Jersey area. And it's staggering to me. And quite frankly, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, as a motorist, it just infuriates me. And, you know, people that I talk to both in person and online that have shared their stories with me and have told me, Fernando, this would be a great story for you to cover, you know, on the show and really voice your disenchantment. I think you'd be a good voice for us, you know, for the people. Well, listen, I don't know how good of a job I'm doing tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but I can tell you one thing that, you know, I thank you for listening, because what I'm trying to do is sort of make this, you know, a very big issue here. And quite frankly, it's frustrating. And it's even more frustrating as I've tried my best to, because you know what, as a motorist, I just want some kind of, I want someone to take responsibility and give me an answer. And listen, I'm a pretty bright guy. I understand numbers. I understand statistics. I can understand quantitative data when it's, you know, brought before me. But what I simply want is somebody from the Port Authority to come in and just pick up a phone, call into the show when I ask them to, and we can have a good debate. And listen, I'll be very fair. Now, I have my sharp criticisms of the Port Authority. I think sometimes the way they spend some of their resources, I think, is misguided. And I'll give you an example. I can't begin to say, now listen, I live in the city, so when I'm driving, for those of you that are aware of sort of the landscape, as you're driving towards the Lincoln Tunnel, you take a roadway, John F. Kennedy Boulevard East, as opposed to the regular John F. Kennedy Boulevard on the west side of, you know, of Hudson County. And as you're driving to the Lincoln Tunnel, I can't begin to tell you sometimes where I can visibly see, or maybe in a covert way, seeing Port Authority cops standing there with radar guns looking to just sort of trap motorists as they're driving to the tunnel. Now, listen, folks, you know, the potential to speed there isn't very high to begin with. There's always congestion leaving the tunnel, going up that viaduct, or going into the tunnel. So this isn't, you know, the Garden State Parkway. It's not the Turnpike. You know, the potential to go and, you know, and try to violate the speed limit is asinine. You can't. There's just too much volume and congestion in there. But what does the Port Authority do? They decide to have cops both on the north side and on the south side with radar guns. And what do? They're pulling motors over. Folks, you know, I don't know about you here in Hudson County. Car insurance is pretty expensive. Now, I'm very fortunate. My car insurance rates and my monthly premiums are pretty low. They're just a little over $100. But guess what? That don't have that luxury. And they're paying $150, $200 more to cover one or more cars in their household. And you know what? When they're driving towards New York, for whatever reason, the last thing we need is this sort of these oppressive tactics by the Port Authority. But guess what? They decide to, you know, that's how they want to, you know, implement manpower. That's the best implementation of resources. No, it's not. It's not at all. And quite frankly, I can't begin to tell you that, you know, I remember doing some sort of, you know, editorial back a couple of years ago when I was doing journalism for Hudson County TV. And I remember standing by, I actually parked, you know, up Boulevard East, and I walked, and I literally filmed the Port Authority officers doing this. And I felt it was increasingly helpful. And, you know, when I called, you know, the Port Authority for a comment for the editorial, you know, they were sort of hiding behind the mantra of like, well, this is a public safety issue. Folks, that's a blatant lie. It's not a safety issue. But give me a break. You know, it's simply just to sort of milk the motorist and the taxpayer out of money. And quite frankly, to add a moving violation to them or anything else, that's just completely unnecessary. But again, that's become symbolic of what the Port Authority is. And you know what? Tonight, again, I sort of wanted, you know, to go into a very sort of big detail here about what the problem is, you know, with the Port Authority. And, you know, as I was doing some research, again, you know, it was just staggering to me about, you know, what the party, what it does. And, you know, here's some numbers that should kind of stand, I think, in terms of the operating income by the facility, and to think about really, you know, how money's being spent here. And let me throw some numbers at you here tonight. And, you know, you can sort of digest them. And, you know, of course, again, you want to call into the show and opine tonight, folks. I'd love to hear from you. Again, toll-free number tonight brought to you by Ala Vella Restaurant in North Bergen. Call in tonight. I want to hear from you. 657-383-0296. Again, I want to hear from you. Listen, if you're as outraged as I am, please tell me. And if I'm wrong, tell me where I'm wrong. But I can tell you that I'm speaking for a lot of more on Talkin' the Hudson. And trust me, it's something that I think really deserves some light and deserves some serious exposure here. But so getting back to some numbers here that I came across in my research, and it's mind-boggling to me. Now, as recently as 2014, I think that's the most recent number that I can find in terms of what the Port Authority wanted to make available for public consumption. But in 2014, in terms of the operating income by facility or service, was just mind-boggling. Now, in 2014, the George Washington Bridge, in terms of its operating income, was based out of $492 million. Now, the closest next on the list was Newark Liberty International Airport, which operates on a budget of $279 million. And so on and so forth going forward. Now, the third was JFK International Airport at $242 million. The Outer Bridge Crossings near Elizabeth were at $113 million. And the Gothels Bridge rounds out the top five at $107 million. And surprisingly, you know, it's when I look at these numbers, it's just – it's crazy to me. You know, and one of the things that, to be honest with you, really, really, as a motorist, really ticks me off. You know, I sort of go back to my disenchantment with governors, you know, Cuomo out of New York and Governor Christie here in New Jersey. You know, one thing I have to say, and, you know, it's an election year here in New Jersey, and quite frankly, it's been something that has just driven me crazy, is back in 2010, Governor Christie killed a very good plan to add a pair of rail tunnels under the Hudson River, which was going to be known as the Access to the Region's Core, the ARC tunnels. And they would have relieved so much pressure on the maxed out North River tunnels. And unfortunately, he didn't think long term. He thought in the short term. And quite frankly, this would just cripple New Jersey for the future. And you know what? It's really disappointing for that, because quite frankly, I can't tell you how upset I've been knowing that this project could have taken off a few years ago. And by now, at least maybe in the next 10 to 15, it would have alleviated a lot of the burden for motorists here in not just Hudson County, but throughout New Jersey. And I think Governor Christie dropped the ball on that one. I'm not afraid to say it, and quite frankly, it's disappointing to say. Well, listen, we have some calls in the queue here. I appreciate the callers tonight. Again, folks, call in toll-free tonight, 657-383-0296. 383-0296. Let's go to the phones. All right, 201 area code. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Hi, it's Mike Tenero from Hoboken, New Jersey.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling Talking to Hudson. What do you have for me tonight, man?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I listen to you and a great show you have regarding your frustrations about Port Authority and commuting
thank
and the
you,
costs,
thank you, Mike.
Et cetera. And one thing I have to share is I know of an alternate way, both for leisure and for business, to get from Hoboken or Jersey City across to Manhattan, and that is I have a 16-passenger speedboat, and my company is Rib New York, and we take folks from Hoboken and Jersey City to Manhattan and back, both for leisure and for professional use, like a livery service for folks that don't want to drive and don't want to take either a bus or the path and incur those expenses. So it's a nice alternative to alleviate some of the burdens you've talked about tonight.
Well, Mike, that sounds really good. And again, I appreciate you calling in tonight, but you know, I'm curious now. You sort of piqued my interest here. So I'm going to have to grill you a little bit on this, but what's the cost?
Sure.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, commuters, you know, whether I don't want to drive or I want to take a Lyft or an Uber somewhere, or I don't want to drive and I want to take the path or something, or I want to take the New York waterways, I want to take a ferry. Why is this alternative better for us?
We can get you from either Hoboken or Jersey City to Manhattan in about 3 minutes. It's a Navy SEAL speedboat with two yacht engines on the back, and it, you know, it, there's no traffic, there's no congestion, and we have full access to all the piers. And the cost is a little bit higher than you would in a ferry or, you know, the path or a bus, but you get there a lot faster. There are no lines, and it's kind of, you know, a personalized livery service to you and your associates.
Wow, that sounds – I mean, listen, I know you reached out earlier during the day, and I had a chance to check out
right.
your website. Listen, it's really, really interesting. Again, listen, I'll give you a free plug on the show tonight, folks. And do me a favor, everyone, check out www.ribnewyork.com. That's RIBNewYork.com. So a free plug for you tonight, Mike. Again, of course, you know, I want to help you out there. And, again, I appreciate you supporting the show. But, you know, again, I'm looking at the website here. And, you know, just for – again, for our listeners that are aware – as the warmer days are coming and hopefully staying for us. Again, why is this a better alternative? You know, again, we can sort of, you know, take the ferry or something. Now, I know you said it's a little more expensive, but what's really, at the end of the day, what's the benefit for commuters, whether it's for business or for pleasure into New York?
There's less of a congestion because I know, you know, during the very peak times, whether it's in the morning or the evening, a lot of times there are lines on the ferries. And also with us, because it's sort of like a car service, but on the water, you can pick the times for pickup and, you know, departure, et cetera, and we wait for you. It's very personalized. It's not just like a ferry or some of the other mass transit options where you're just one of a number on the vessel itself. It's very personal because the vessel itself has a maximum capacity per trip of 16 passengers, so it's quite small and intimate.
Oh, that's very nice. Well, one other thing. I mean, again, I appreciate you calling in tonight, Mike. Did you hear my monologue? Did you at least hear what I had to say? Am I wrong here in terms of my outrage with the way that, as a motorist, you know, in Hudson County, how I view the Port Authority? Am I wrong here?
Not at all. And really, I mean, I used to work in Manhattan on Park Avenue for a large financial firm. And I did that for years. And it would take me from Hoboken. I mean, it's like a 3 mile commute, not even. You know, it would take me 45 minutes to an hour each way just to use my car. And forget about Easy Pass, forget about parking in the city. And, you know, gas is very expensive. I mean, it's come down now, but in past years it got quite high. So it's like you said on your show earlier, you know, between the Easy Pass bill, between the gas bill and the garage fees, it's crazy. And that's why, you know, now I operate my business out of my home in Hoboken, because to go to work in the city using some of those mass transit and the tunnels or the bridges or whatever, it gets so expensive. It's unreal. It's almost prohibitive.
Well, listen, I appreciate sort of giving me some fire here with the program today, and I appreciate you calling in. Again, Mike, do me a favor for our listeners tonight here, a little more information about Rib New York and you know, are there any discounts at all for maybe doing it the first time? Anything our listeners should know about tonight as it pertains to Rib New York, sir?
Well, we do a lot of custom charters, so it depends on the number of people, the length of the ride, and the needs that you have. We customize charters, and we have custom pricing for everyone. The more folks come together in a group, we do give group rates, and we can be much more competitive with larger groups. But definitely check out the website, and I'm a definite supporter of the show, and I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, well, Mike, listen, thanks for calling in. As a matter of fact, I just looked at your website here. I looked at some locations here on the website. I believe Pier 13, the shipyard. There's also Surf City in Jersey City downtown, Pier 25 in New York, and La Marina in New York. So, listen, tell you what, my birthday is next month. I might have to take you up on this offer here. I see a first-time discount coupon. So, you know what, maybe to celebrate my birthday, I might want to try out Rib New York and check out this great service of yours.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe in the future, if it's a good topic, maybe we can do the show from the boat, and you can take advantage of it and give the listeners an idea of what it's like to be on the boat. And I think it'll be a great experience.
Well, I'll say this much: as the weather gets warmer, I could definitely FaceTime on Facebook and maybe do the show live that way. How does that sound for you?
That's perfect.
All right. Well, listen, Mike, I appreciate calling in today. Again, I want to just give you a last plug here. I appreciate you being supportive of the show. It's at www.ribnewyork.com. That's ribnewyork.com. Good service there. Mike, again, I appreciate you calling in from Hoboken this evening. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you again for calling. I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. All right, folks, again, call in tonight. I definitely want to hear from you. 657-383-0296. Once again, 657-0296 here. Toll-free number brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. Again, I can't say enough about what a great restaurant they are in North Bergen. Again, a very proud sponsor here advertising with Talk on the Hudson. And, folks, really just to sort of, wrap up the topic on the Port Authority. Again, it's one of those things that I intend to sort of get to the bottom of. And again, I'm not going to be lackadaisical about it. I'm going to continue being persistent. I'm going to continue calling the Port Authority. I want to get somebody on here. I want somebody to come on. Listen, and, if someone from the Port Authority or if you know someone that works in the Port Authority in the hierarchy and you're listening tonight, folks, I'll give him or her an hour on this show, commercial free. I want to hear exactly where, not necessarily my tax dollars are going to, but this revenue. Because I contribute revenue. Money comes out of my checking account every month for the Easy Pass. And that goes to the Port Authority. Where's this money going to? I want to know. I don't want to sound sort of, arrogant when I say this, but I believe I'm entitled to know. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a homeowner. I'm a motorist. I contribute to these structures just like tens of thousands of other homeowners and motorists and taxpayers here in Hudson County do. As I said during the monologue, we deserve answers. We really, really do. So if you know anyone from the Port Authority and you have a contact there, please do me a favor. Have them call me personally or have them call in the show. I'd be more happy. I'll give them an hour, commercial free, anytime, any week here on the program. Because I want to know, as I'm looking at these numbers, it's staggering to me that there isn't more of an outreach. And I know that, we live in a very transient sort of area. We're very preoccupied with our own schedules, whether it's, our careers, other responsibilities. I get it, folks. And I don't want to sound as if I'm dismissing what's on your plate, but this is important. And I think as people, we should be concerned. We should want some answers. And as I told you from the very first day of this show started on March the 1st and moving forward, I'm your voice. I'm your voice to raise hell about the issues that matter to you. And I don't know about you, but let me say something. This issue right here affects all of us here in Hudson County, whether we drive, whether we take mass transit, however you want to slice it, ladies and gentlemen. This is an issue that should outrage you. This is an issue that should get you thinking. And you know what? Again, if you are as disenchanted as I am, listen, call the Port Authority. Call them as I have. I've been calling them for about over a week. I haven't got anywhere. And you know what? I'll continue to call them. But you know what? Call them, 212-435-7777. And you know what? Give them hell. Because quite frankly, we give a lot of our money to all of these projects, to toll revenues. We expect infrastructure. to be completed on time, and it's not. And quite frankly, it kind of makes me wonder, what are they doing over there? Whether it's the chairman, again, whether it's, you know, whether it's Patrick Foy, the executive director of the Port Authority. And like I said, you know what? You know, bureaucracy is a funny thing. And we look at the chairman of the Board of Commissioners of the Port Authority, and then we have the other nine commissioners. Quite frankly, it's just outrageous that each of them make over six figures, and they're very inaccessible. There's very rarely any accountability with them. And quite frankly, whether of the media, whether it's a taxpayer like myself, a homeowner, a motorist, we can't seem to get answers. And quite frankly, this is unacceptable. And I give you my word, ladies and gentlemen, moving forward here on the program, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to find out exactly where our money is going. And you know what? Who needs to be held accountable for it? And again, that's what we'll do here on Talking the Hudson. Folks, again, toll-free number tonight. Call in. I want to hear from you. 657-383-0296. Again, toll-free number tonight brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. Again, 7709 Bergen Line Avenue. Toll-free number tonight, 657-383-0296. Now, I want to move on to some other topics here on the program, ladies and gentlemen. Here again, and listen, as I mentioned to you before on previous episodes, I can't say enough about the great journalism. And quite frankly, having had some of the previous journalists here on the show, having the Dean of Hudson County Journalism, Al Sullivan from the Hudson Reporter on, also having John Hines, the Director of News at Hudson County View. Again, all of the great news sources here in Hudson County, whether it's them, whether it's Hudson County TV, you know, HudsonTV.com, whether it's the Jersey Journal, NJ.com/JJournal, always great stuff to read there. And, you know, I looked at recently, again, sort of just doing a sort of a review here of the top news that I came across in on the news feeds. And for those of you not aware, gender-neutral bathrooms. Now, first floor councilman Michael DeFusco, who is also running for mayor and is looking to challenge the incumbent, Don Zimmer, in the Miles Square City, responded to recent bias incidents against homosexual and transgendered Americans when he hosted a recent fundraiser at the LGBTQ caucus at the Dubliner in Hoboken on 96th Street. And the story featured in the Hudson Reporter, again, at hudsonreporter.com. I do want to give credit to Marilyn Baer, a great staff writer at The Reporter, for discussing this and, again, providing a very excellent article on the website. And, you know, as I was looking at the article itself, it was, you know, it was a nice effort by DeFusco to challenge the Zimmer administration as to whether or not the city is going to invest resources into services to help LGBTQ youth, homeless and elderly people that are also suffering from HIV and also AIDS. Now, the councilman mentioned, again, quote, he went on to say, recent vandalism, see Pride headquarters, as well as Garden City Quality, although the LGBTQ community has made great strides in New Jersey, acceptance still isn't universal. And he was elected official in Hudson County. I want to host my friend, the LGBTQ caucus in Hoboken, as a way of raising awareness to local and statewide issue. One of the topics discussed recently during that caucus was looking at nightlife in Hoboken, for example. And as the councilman mentioned, and also one of the caucus members in Hoboken, on outreach in Hoboken, Forrest saying that he was a bit concerned that in Hoboken there are a bar, and that was something that was of considerable importance, the LGBTQ community in Hoboken and mostly also in Hudson County. And one of the that, and I've had the chance to meet the councilman at some events recently, and you know, he's very nice. Certainly a guy who's very intelligent, very articulate. I applaud him for wanting to take on Mayor Zimmer. Now, how successful he's going to be in dethroning her come November in the mayoral election in Hoboken remains to be seen. There's a lot of months left. He can certainly raise some money. But it was something that he said to me during our conversation. I remember he said to me that, you know, that Hoboken still has room for improvement. And he felt that, you know, even though Hoboken was moving forward with having gender-neutral bathrooms, which, again, is an important element for the LGBTQ community. And you know what? It's interesting. You know, when I talked to him about this, the talking points he had mentioned to me, you know, off the record, you know, really resonated because, quite frankly, folks, you know, I'm Hispanic, and I've grown up in Huntsville my whole life, and you know, growing up in the Hispanic community, you didn't really talk about homosexuality a lot as a kid. You know, you didn't really grow up talking about it with your parents. It was sort of a taboo issue, and you know, if somebody was gay, you really never, you know, talked about it openly. You sort of just said, oh, well, you know, you sort of, you know, just was very, you know, hush-hush about it, I think. And, you know, I think, you know, one of the things that I'm very grateful for when it comes to going to college at Rutgers University in New Brunswick for my undergrad, and one of the things that I am even prouder about in going to graduate school at Rutgers in Newark at the graduate school, was meeting just a lot of different people and meeting people from all walks of life, whether it was based on ethnicity or race or even orientation. And, you know, I'm someone that grew up knowing a lot of gay people. There are a lot of gay people in my graduating class from high school. There are a lot of gay people graduating from my undergraduate class in New Brunswick at Rutgers University. And there were a lot of gay people that I knew graduating from grad school in Newark, where I received, you know, multiple graduate degrees. And, you know, one thing that always remained constant for me is just sort of this acceptance, you know, and I'll never, it's like, a creature that I exist. And, you know, I don't dislike gay people anymore. I think gay people dislike me for liking women. And, quite frankly, you know, even come very far in 2017, I know a lot more magnets that hangs on my car that still is fixated on the back of my new car, as a matter of fact, is my support for Garden State Equality. They're a great local organization that is a champion for the LGBTQ community. And listen, you know, at the end of the day, I'm someone that just believes in live and let live. And, you know, from a very early age, I know something my parents always taught me is just to be accepting of others, regardless of race or ethnicity or orientation. And you know what? They always said to me very early on, Fernando, it's important that you never, ever think it's proper to discriminate against anybody, because we know what it's like to be discriminated against because of our ethnicity and being Hispanic and not knowing English or being immigrants. That's something that always resonated for me. And I knew growing up, even through elementary school and high school and, you know, meeting gay people and being comfortable around them and not being homophobic or not being, you know, someone that was polarizing or someone that was very intolerant. That was never me. You know, I was one of those guys that went to college and, quite frankly, knew gay men and women. I'm still friends with a lot of gay men and women that I know from my graduating classes, both undergrad and grad. And you know what? They're great people. And quite frankly, when I, you know, look back on, you know, thinking about college, and I think about a lot of my friends, you know, my frat brothers at my fraternity, people that I knew in graduate school. And it was really sad because, you know, I got to live through an era where, you know, for example, you know, 20 years ago, the thought of, you know, same-sex marriage being, you know, the law of the land in the United States was unheard of. It was something that, you know, I could have never predicted. And quite frankly, you know, I was happy because I know a lot of gay people that weren't given the same rights as my parents. And folks, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you don't choose to be gay. You know, this idea that, you know, we wake up one day and we just want to be gay. No, like you, that's something you eventually learn about yourself at a young age. Maybe you don't learn until later in life, who knows? But you don't choose to be gay one day. Listen, I didn't wake up one day and choose to like women. I just biologically and physiologically like women. You know, I am attracted to women. I don't find any, you know, physiological features that I'm attracted to when it comes to men. Now, can I say that a man is handsome and give him credit? Yeah, absolutely. That's fine. I can do that. It doesn't make me gay. It just, again, reinforces the fact that I can acknowledge that somebody else is handsome. Now, am I physiologically attracted to a man? No, I'm not. And that's fine. And if someone listening tonight is, you know, hey, that's on you. That's great. You know, I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. And quite frankly, seeing this in Hoboken, of course, you know, talking to the councilman, you know, listen, I applaud him. I'm sure it's not easy to run, you know, as an openly gay elected official. Never mind in Hudson County or anywhere else. You know, I give him credit. You know, from what I saw at the event, he's a nice guy. Certainly, he has a big hill to climb against the incumbent Mayor Don Zimmer, who, listen, let's be very honest, has done a very piss poor job in Hoboken. And I've reached out to the mayor's office to try to get somebody on, whether it's the mayor herself or even one of her, her top spokesman, Juan Melly, on the show. We'll find out. Again, you know, believe me, folks, I'm trying to get guests on here. I've done a good job so far of getting guests, and I'll continue to do so. Again, and I appreciate the support that you've shown me here on the program by doing that, because I want to get people on here. I want to get people on here, especially elected officials, to talk about the issues that matter most. And quite frankly, you know, it was refreshing to talk to the councilman, because I remember back in 2013, I remember Hoboken was one of the first cities in the state to grant marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And it happened, you know, in Hoboken. And I remember when I was doing journalism for Hudson County TV back in 2013, part-time, I remember I was fortunate enough to interview one of the first same-sex couples to apply for a marriage license. I remember that. And it was a really good day. And I felt good about that interview. And I remember talking to them, and I felt genuinely happy for them. And, you know, I think it's something that, you know, maybe some residents here are still a little bit intolerant, and that's unfortunate. We're hoping to change that, I guess, you know, with education and awareness. And, you know, again, you know, I applaud the councilman for being one of those individuals that are adamant about helping the LGBTQ community, that are adamant about being inclusive here in Hudson County. Again, you know, the councilman has a long hill to climb, but there's a lot of months between now and November. And I know he's a smart guy. He's done a good job of mobilizing, doing it from the grassroots type of level to get support. And we're going to find out. We're going to find out what Mayor Zimmer has. If Mayor Zimmer has, what it takes to defeat Michael DeFusco coming up here, and any other challengers that decide to run against her. But right now, again, openly, the councilman has declared his intentions to run against the mayor, and we're going to find out. But again, you know, kudos to him for a recent event, again, in Hoboken. And, we're going to find out exactly. But in terms of raising awareness for the LGBT community, so hats off to the councilman. You know, certainly a good job. And we'll keep you posted here on Talking to Hudson in terms of whether or not, what sort of reaction we will get from residents in regards to the gender-neutral bathrooms now becoming effective in the Miles Square City. So, we're going to find out exactly what that will entail. So, folks, again, if you want to call in tonight, I want to hear from you. Again, 657-383-0296. Toll-free number brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. Once again, 657-383-0296. Another story I wanted to cover here along Hudson County politics, and something that broke my heart last week, and learning of these developments really, really rattled me. Upon learning about it, and a state GOP committee member by the name of Russell Maffei was tragically killed in a hit-and-run accident in North Bergen on Kennedy Boulevard, right near the Coach House Diner. This happened last week. Again, I didn't have a chance to cover this on the show, but it was a tragic turn of events there. He was a well-renowned state committeeman for many, many years here in Hudson County. I know that Lieutenant Governor Kim Godano, and in this year's gubernatorial race, put out a press release saying she was, quote, heartbroken to hear of his passing. Quote, the lieutenant governor went on to say, our entire team is heartbroken by the tragic loss of a longtime friend, one of our earliest supporters, Russell Maffei. And she wrote this on her Facebook page and also on the press release that she released last week. Apparently and thankfully, the Hudson County Sheriff's Office has indeed made an arrest in connection to the crash that took Russell's life last week. My heart goes out to his family, who everybody who knew him. And I'll share an interesting story about Russ. Back in 2011, I was approached to run for the New Jersey State Assembly in the 33rd District here in Hudson County. And for those of you who are not aware, the 33rd Legislative District encompasses Union City, Weehawken, Hoboken, and the Jersey City Heights, as well as downtown. And I was approached by the county Republican chair, Jose Arango, to run as an assemblyman candidate. And after some serious thought over the weekend, I decided to say yes, and I ran. And one of the first people that called me was the committeeman, Russell Maffei. He said, Fernando, I know that you are very inexperienced in politics, but I'm going to do everything I can to help you collect signatures to get you on the ballot. Now, I knew right from the get-go that running as an assemblyman, especially as a Republican in 2011, was going to be sort of like a losing battle because Hudson County is predominantly very blue. It's voted Democrat going back almost 30 years. And the last time a Republican won any seat in Hudson County was back in 1984, I believe, during the Ronald Reagan administration. And coincidentally, it happened to be Jose Arango, the current county chair, who won an assembly seat. So I knew what I was up against. And you know what? I said, hey, you know what? No time like the present to get your feet wet, run a campaign, run a good, honest campaign. And that's what I did. And I was proud of it. And I received a lot of endorsements. Actually, as a matter of fact, for those of you listening tonight, you'll probably get a kick out of this. But I was the first ever Republican to be endorsed by the National Organization for Women back in 2011. I believe it was the first endorsement by them of any Republican for any New Jersey. I think in well over almost 50 years in New Jersey. So I ran a pretty moderate and centrist platform in 2011, and I was proud to say that I ran a campaign. Had a great campaign manager and my dad who helped me raise some money, helped me print out flyers, helped me give out flyers, host a great campaign dinner. As a matter of fact, I remember Mayor Felix Roque, who is, a registered Democrat and a dedicated member of the Democrat Party here in Hudson County. But, he decided to come to my event and wish me luck. And I think it was more maybe just being Cuban. I think him being a fan of my mom, I think helped a lot probably. So I was grateful to him, but I was grateful to Russ. I was grateful to Russ Maffei because he, whenever I was nervous about collecting signatures or I wasn't sure what to do in the process, he guided me every step of the way. And for a guy who didn't know, even to what papers to file with the city of New Jersey to run for the state assembly, Russ was a gentleman. And Russ was a guy that, quite frankly, was somebody that I held in very high regard. And to hear of his untimely passing last week in a hit-and-run accident due to the reckless driving of a Hudson County corrections officer, if I'm not mistaken, was it was heartbreaking for me. When I heard what happened, I couldn't even begin to tell you, quite frankly, what how it saddened me because, this goes beyond politics and this goes beyond party. Russ Maffei was a good man. Russ Maffei was a guy that, cared about people and cared about helping people run and collecting signatures and getting, the vote out and mobilizing volunteers. And, he was a good man. And, he certainly did not deserve that demise. He didn't deserve to be run over at 4 a.m. when he simply crossed the street. In North Bergen, and to hear those developments, it broke my heart. It broke my heart to to read that news, you know, and when I saw that, it was one of those things where, you know, we wonder, you know, what happened, like, who would do this, you know, why would, you know, who would be so reckless to do that, to drive at 4 a.m. and just, you know, run over two people. And, you know, one of the things that was really disturbing, I remember that they showed one of those surveillance cameras that were on Kennedy Boulevard, and you know, seeing that impact was just, you know, shaking for me. I was you know, and I'm glad that the surveillance camera caught the guy. You know, if I'm not mistaken, I believe his name was Michael Hansen. He was 38. He was a Hudson County CO, and he was charged with those two deaths. And quite frankly, everything he deserves. Just driving so recklessly and just kill two people instantly. It was just, it was tragic. And, you know, I know that, again, this goes beyond, you know, politics, you know, again, being the head of the Jersey Republican Party, he's also a state committeeman for the Republican Party. But Russ Raffay, before anything else, Russ Raffay was a good person. You know, he was a good guy. To me, he was a guy to a lot of people he came across, because he was genuine, and he made the point of, you know, working all hours of the day to help candidates, to help people that were looking to run for office. And like I said, you know, I knew right from the get-go that doing this was a losing battle. But you know what? I didn't care. And one of the people that I have to thank for just giving me this defiant attitude about running for public office was Russell Maffei. So with Fernando, you're a good guy, you're educated, you are articulate, and you're a genuinely good person. You should run for office. And I'll do whatever I can to help you out and help you run a respectable campaign. And he did. He was a nice guy. He was someone who cared legitimately for everyone he came across in terms of helping them, whether it was an 18-year-old college freshman that was looking to volunteer in a campaign, or just helping people run for either a state senate seat or an assembly seat. He was a good guy. He was a good guy that did not deserve that end, to be run over on Kennedy Boulevard. He was just simply crossing the street. And again, my heart goes out to him. My heart also goes out to Marie Taro, who was also killed with him instantly during this incident. It's my understanding that Ms. Taro was going to be running for the Republican nomination for the state assembly seat in the 31st legislative district. Again, my heart goes out to both of those families. You know, I didn't have a chance to meet Ms. Taro, but I knew Russ Maffei. He was a guy that genuinely cared about his community, cared about, you know, just cared about politics. So, I mean, I don't really care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. You know, just know that, you know, we lost a good person locally in Hudson County, a guy that genuinely cared about running, you know, a campaign the right way and about keeping politics clean and not letting it get dirty. And that's what I'll remember most about Russ Maffei, a guy who, quite frankly, I know left an impact on a lot of us here in Hudson County and also statewide. So, again, my heart goes out to Russ Maffei, who tragically passed last week due to being a victim of a hit-and-run accident right in front of the Coach House Diner in North Bergen. So, again, Russ, you're a great guy who I got to know during my campaign and then just other political work that I did over the years. And you were always a gentleman with me. And I hope you are in a better place right now. So, again, my heart goes out to Russ Maffei and his family and certainly his impact on the local political scene in Hudson County will surely never be forgotten. So it's something that we shall keep in mind. And, again, be very careful when crossing the streets, folks. You never know in Hudson County, whether it's in Kennedy Boulevard or anywhere else, when a driver is just being reckless. Please be careful every time. Look both ways. Be very vigilant. Stay off your phones. Be very careful when you cross the streets. You know, Russ Maffei deserved better. And hopefully the justice system will do their part and punish Michael Hansen accordingly. And I'll keep you posted about any developments with that case, as I'm certain that Michael Hansen has already been arraigned. We'll see if he either pleads guilty or if he goes to trial. And we'll keep you posted here on Talk on the Hudson. Well, folks, you know, listen, can't believe it. It's, you know, it's about that time already. I can't believe our hour is up already, and it flew by, I have to tell you. But, you know, again, don't forget that every Wednesday night live at 9 p.m., you can listen to the best political commentary about everything Hudson County right here on Talk on the Hudson. And, again, if you missed any part of tonight's broadcast, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Talk on the Hudson from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. If you have a topic or issue you want to hear about next week, do me a favor. Write to the show's inbox, talkonthehudson@gmail.com. Now, again, don't forget to like Talk on the Hudson on Facebook. So whether it's on your morning commute, getting that daily workout in, hey, it's nice to go out for a run now. So you know what? Have it on your smartphone, whether you're walking your dog, doing laundry, homework. Hey, it's almost final exam time. So if you're studying for your finals, hey, tune in. And you'll be happy you did. Again, folks, I want to thank Olivella Restaurant. And Talk of the Hudson is brought to you by Olivella Restaurant in North Bergen. For those not aware, it's a brand new gem in Hudson County and is indeed the best Italian food you're going to taste anywhere. So I urge you, I strongly recommend you visit Olivella Restaurant, which is located at 7709 Bergen Line Avenue in North Bergen, New Jersey. They're open for dinner 7 days a week, and I strongly recommend that you make a reservation before you go. You can do so by calling 201-662-6110. Once again, call to make a reservation at Olivella Restaurant, 201-662-6110. Check out their website. Their menu's on full display there, and trust me, you're going to want to go there tomorrow. And even though we're trying to get summer ready, you know what? If you have to have a cheat meal, have it at Olivella Restaurant. Again, check them out on their website, www.olivellanj.com. Don't forget to like Olivella Restaurant on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Instagram and Twitter. I can't say enough, ladies and gentlemen. If it's unbiased and unfiltered, it's Talk on the Hudson. Good night. Patterson Plank Road, all the way from North Bergen, stretching down to Sea Caucus. And don't forget, let's keep on talking.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. If you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well, don't you let trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going.